You're listening to By the Book. This is the Nahum Segal Network. By the Book brought to you by our friends at Koren Publishers. Check out korenpub.com, korenpub.com, for the latest and greatest of what they're offering. And they're always offering incredible books out there to our community and, of course, amazing authors to us here on this program. It is called HaMafteach. Daniel Redder, Esquire, is with us. He's the author of the Sefer HaMafteach from Koren Publishers, an indexed reference guide to Talmud Bavli and its Mishnayos. And he is with us via telephone as we explore this unique and incredible work. It is a pleasure, Daniel Redder, to welcome you to the Nahum Segal Network.
Thank you. Can you hear me on a speakerphone, or must I pick it up directly?
Yeah, if you pick it up, that'd be even better, and it's great to speak with you. The HaMafteach is an index reference guide to the Talmud Bavli and its Mishnayos, designed to enable the student of the Talmud to locate significant subject matter, laws, anecdotes, maxims, parables, sayings, biblical exegesis, biblical and Talmudic personalities, and commentaries of the sages. Also included is a phonetic transliteration of Hebrew and Aramaic words and phrases, and a new integrated glossary. Maybe an unusual way to start, but I'm so curious, how long did this project take?
The project took me 7 years. 5 years for the Hebrew volume, Aleph Tel Tav, and an additional 2 years for the English, because the English had a unique challenge which the Hebrew edition did not have.
And at what point, and again, to any student, and to even an average student, they may have realized this, but at what point did it become an acute concern for you that nothing like this already existed?
Well, I would say that this is an acute concern for anyone who learns Gemara, but no one knew really how to get one's arm around it, because any book or sefer of academic teaching, whether scientific, Talmudic, or whatever, other than a novel, has an index. Any educational book has an index. Anybody who's gone to college, anybody who's gone to university, knows that. And from the time I was even a young child, whenever I wanted to find a particular Gemara, I'd have to ask somebody. I'd have to ask my Rebbe, ask somebody who knew more than me, ask my father over Shalom. I was never able to find it myself, because once it was pointed out to me, then the Mesoros HaShas, which is on the side,
right,
tells you where you can find another Gemara of the same kind.
Right.
But to find the first source didn't exist unless you asked somebody. And after a while, as an attorney, I recognized that you can have a book of 1,000 pages, and whenever a client would be in my office and ask me a question, I'd say, you know, my mother told me you don't have to know everything. You have to know where to find it. And with a Gemara, with a Talmud, one did not know how to find it. Even the biggest Talmud Chacham, I mean, there are a few who know everything, Rav Kanievsky, Rav David Cohen, they know it by Shas, they know by heart back and forth, my rabbi, Rav David, Rav Mordechai Willig, they know it by heart back and forth, but most of us mortals, most of us do not know Shas by heart. And I felt that someone had to do it, and I decided to do it.
But nonetheless, whether you know it by heart or not, you have to be unbelievably familiar with it to undertake a project like this.
Well, I've been learning Gemara since, I guess, I'm 10 years old, and I've been teaching Daf Yomi for the last, since 1985, I'm teaching Daf Yomi, so I've gone through about three or four cycles, and, you know, one picks it up, and one learns it, and then one gets to know it. So, do I know it by heart now? No. Can I put my finger on almost any Gemara and say where it is? Close. But the Mafteach, you know, focuses in. As a matter of fact, this morning we had a discussion in the Gemara. If you have a tree which is on the border between Eretz Yisrael and between Chutz Laaretz, and the branches are branching to one side and branch to the other side, where do you have the din of a Trumas or Maestris? And then you fast forward that. If two neighbors have a tree instead of a party wall, and there are apples on one side and apples on the other side, who owns the apples? So this Gemara we discussed today, and someone says to me, well, where is the story about the tree? And HaMafteach has about six or seven citations above Metzia, above Basra. This is what it is for, and Baruch Hashem, it works.
So why do you say that it's important to know the first place that it's quoted? Is that in other words, are all the places referenced and the first is given special designation? How does it work?
No, not at all. If you're sitting amongst friends, or if you decide you want to give a speech about a bris on Shabbos. A person has a great fortune, and he has a baby boy, and it's on Shabbos, and he wants to give a Devar Torah. So you want to find where are the sources of bris on Shabbos. Where do you begin? There's no Masechta called Bris Mila.
Right.
So in the Mafteich, look at the bris on Shabbos, and you'll have the citations of the Gemara Shabbos, etc., etc. So once you've found the initial source, then the Mesosa Shas, most of the time, will lead you to identical Gemaras. But what he leads you to really are the same exact words that you can find in another Gemara.
Right.
He doesn't necessarily give you the same context. The Mafteach will give you, by association, every context that is similar to Bris on Shabbos. So the Mafteach does serve a purpose that even if you know where it is, Mafteach can give you more information sometimes than even the Mesos HaShas.
Maham Mafteach, Daniel Redder is with us. He's the author. Are you surprised that this was not done earlier in Jewish history?
As a matter of fact, I'm not surprised. As a matter of fact, in my Hamafteach, in my introduction, my first question is, why hasn't this happened before?
Right.
And the reason is really, it's almost an accident of history. In order to have Hamafteach, you have to have a uniform daf, a uniform what I call foliarization. With daf gimel and daf lamed and daf mem have to be universal. Everybody has to agree that this gemara is in daf mem. Well, you know, even Rashi didn't have a daf yet, because the dafs were not invented until after Rashi, until Daniel Bomberg. You may have heard recently that the Bomberg Shas sold for about $9.5 million.
Right.
Daniel Bomberg was a non-Jewish person who had a Jewish assistant named Levi, who lived in Antwerp, of all places. And he is the one who basically, he's the one who basically took the Shas, even after Sansino, because Sansino only had done one or two Masechtas, and he created what we have today, the Daf and the Amud. So this was in the 16th. Let me, I'll tell you the exact date that Daniel Bomberg came into business. He came to business, well, the printing press came to business in 5205, which is in 1445, our years.
Right.
And then you had the Sansino, he printed his in 1483. And then between 1520 and 1548, Daniel Bomberg printed several editions of the complete Talmud. So he's the one really who invented the daf as we know it today. So you couldn't have an index if you didn't have an agreement on which daf is which. As a matter of fact, those who learn Rashi, when Rashi refers to a Gemara, Ayin, Brava, Metzia, Rashi never says daf so-and-so. The editor put in daf so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Rashi will say Perek so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Because in the days of Rashi, a daf didn't exist.
Very
so then the question is, after 1548, why not an index? Well, it's not a coincidence that in 1540, Rabbi Yehoshua Boaz, he created the Mesorah Shas. He must have been a fabulous genius because there were no computers then. There was no Bar Ilan. So once there was a uniformity of the foliarization of the daf, he then created the Mesorah Shas, which meant if you learned a particular Gemara, he told you where you could find another Gemara. Then from that period on, which was 1540, until the Daf Yomi, which was created or thought of by Rav Meir Shapiro, which is in 1923, the whole idea of Shas was really almost relegated to a elite group of Talmidei Chachamim. In other words, persons who learned in the yeshiva, Balabatim who were Kavei Itim, but the masses really did not spend too much time on Shas. They needed to know a place. They'd speak to a Rosh Hashiva, they'd speak to their local rabbi who could help them find a particular Inyan. But then I would say with the advent of the Daf Yomi, and then especially the advent of the Art Scroll, and Kala Kavod to Rav Meir Zlotowitz and Rav Nosson Sherman and their tremendous team, they basically opened up Shas for the Hamonam, for the entire nation of Israel. And all of a sudden, people were buying the Art Scroll, they were buying the Shas, and now, of course, my colleagues at Koren, Rabbi Steinsaltz, also has, you know, the Shas, you know, with translation.
Right.
But the Art Scroll in English introduced all of a sudden Shas to an English-speaking generation of intellectuals, of college graduates, of ex-yeshiva bachrim, of those who were balei tshuva, who never were exposed to the Gemara, and all of a sudden, the Yomi became very, very popular. So people were looking at the back and looking for an index, and there was no index. So at that point, people in my daf were saying, you know, Danny, we just learned the Gemara about 15, 20 blot ago about this and this. Where is it? Or what did we learn there? And I have to scratch my head, and we have to start, you know, shelving. We have to start, you know, leafing back. I said to myself, time has come. So Baruch Hashem, Kosh Baruch Hu gave me Sata the Shemaya, And I was successful in putting together Mafter.
Is it able? Are you able to create a volume like that? That's, you know, that's easily usable for the consumer. That's, you know, that's lighter than one might expect a Mafter to have to be. That's, you know, that's not as cumbersome, so to speak. Is it easy for the consumer?
Well, we now will have three sizes. Originally, we had the large size. Then we printed a compact size in English, and now we're printing a size which is a little bigger than the compact size, the size of the Cross Gedolus in Hebrew. So there will be three sizes to choose from. And what I call one is a shtender size. It's you can put it on a shtender in a base medrash. And the truth of the matter is it's got the whole Shas in one volume, all the Mishnais, which, of course, the Masechta Shas does not refer you to the Mishnais, refers you to the Gemara. I don't believe so. If I'm wrong, then, you know, then I can stand corrected. But, in fact, it's not cumbersome because with one volume, you have the whole Shas in your hands. I thought your question was going to be, when will it be PDF? Well, that's on the way.
I can imagine. That's probably
on the way.
Probably right around the corner.
Yes.
You actually asked, in the articles I read and some of the things I read about you, you actually asked your people who find mistakes to be active in letting you know about them, if there are any in HaMafteach. What has the reaction been? Have people actually found you know, minutia that you weren't able to catch?
Well, I tell you, my original challenge was not to omit an entry. It's like you have a dictionary and you're looking up the word scissors. If the word scissors isn't there, you throw the dictionary in the garbage because, you know, what good is a dictionary if you can't find the word you're looking for? So my initial challenge was to make sure that every single conceivable topic, person, personality, subject would be included. That took a great deal of effort. Once I put that together, and it was tested and tested and tested, then once the book was published, the Sefer was published, I did ask the readership to give me the feedback. And Baruch Hashem, I received about 400 to 500 emails only in the first year or 18 months. Thank God, all of them positive. And one or two pointed out an error of an Omid Aleph, Omid Beis, or a typo, Lamed Vav instead of Lamed Zayin. But most of them pointed out to me that there should perhaps be better course references. In other words, the word aid can be under ages, etc. So we did refine that. But Baruch Hashem, there were, I could literally say, one or two errors that were found. And I've always encouraged the readership to write back to me. I've gotten very few emails recently other than, Mr. Redder, perhaps the size should be a little smaller. Perhaps, you know, you should have it in a PDF or digital, whatever. But Baruch Hashem, there have been no mistakes. And now I've been told by people who learned it that in Lakewood it's in the library and all the yeshivas have it now. And also you can find it in Yale Library. So therefore, there have been very, very few errors. And this Kodesh Baruch Hu has given me the Rosh Hashem to set the Shemaya that there should be no errors.
You're listening to Buy the Book. This is the Nachum Segal Network. Our friends at Curran Publishers provide for us amazing works and fantastic authors to speak to. Daniel Redder is with us. Is it easier to do the Hebrew or the English? Is one more difficult to alphabetize and to fit the words in, you know, under the letter they deserve to be under? Is it just very different, or is one easier than the other?
Rav Nachum, you hit the best questions that you could have asked me. I mentioned to you that it took me 2 years longer to do the English.
Right.
It wasn't a matter of taking the Hebrew and Googling it and making English out of it. That is not the way I had to do. The Hebrew took me 5 years because I learned Gemara, you know, using the Hebrew words or the Aramaic words, and now I translate it into Yiddish, into English, whatever. But the problem with the English, well, it was twofold. Number one, there are many, many common words, like the word called Hefker. Hefker is, to mean a lot of different things. Yiyush. Yiyush means, for example, you've given up hope that you've lost an object.
Right.
It could be despair.
Right.
So how will the English reading person figure out what did Daniel Redder, how did I translate the word Yiyush? Or the word Hefker Bezen Hefker? The word Shibudur of Nosin? These are words that are, that just roll off one's lips if one is familiar with the Gemara. And even if one is not that familiar, for example, the word bris. Bris can mean a covenant. Bris can mean circumcision. And bris is a word that everybody uses, and yet it's not a purely English word. So therefore, rather than have a glossary in the back of the book that many of the, you know, the Hebrew books that they have transliterated words, I decided to have an integrated glossary. What does that mean? Take, for example, the word bris. So the word bris, you'll find in the English, and it's italicized. Every word that is not a pure English word is italicized. And then the word bris is translated.
Mm-hmm.
It's B-R-I-S, is a transliteration of Beis Resh Yutav. Then it's translated, either one line says covenant, one line says circumcision. I'll see, and then I'll say, see page so-and-so. So when you ask me why the English took longer, was it more difficult? It was more difficult because we have almost 2,500 English words that we transliterated, we translated, and then we refer you to the particular page. So in that basis, English was a much, much greater challenge because I had to use words. For example, the word yish. Yish can be abandon. Yish can be despair. I chose the word despair. So if you look in the Hamafteach, Y-I-U-S-H, which is transliterated, next to it, it says the word despair. And then I go and I say, look at page so-and-so. Now, yish lo medas. Every kid who's learning Gemara says, oh, I know what that means. If I lose something at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and if I would have known by 10 o'clock that I lost it, then my abandonment or my despair started at 3 o'clock. So I call that implied despair.
Wow.
In other words, the yush is implied. So that required a tremendous amount of thought. I had to discuss it with people that I worked with, and we came up with that yush lemadas is implied despair. I'm not going to say you forgot, you didn't know. It can't be cumbersome. It's got to be done, you know, articulately so that people who know English and who've got a good command of the English language will appreciate the way this has been translated, in effect.
Some might have argued that an English volume wasn't even necessary and that really what we need as a mafteach, as an index for Talmud, really can be limited to Hebrew and Aramaic.
No, absolutely not. There are people, we have people in our shir who I love, my chaverim, I don't call them tamidim, my chaverim, who have started with me 15 years ago and they keep on using the article in English. And I say to them, you know, it's like training wheels. You've learned 15 years, move over to the other side.
Right.
For some reason, it is, for lack of a better word, it's a clutch. It's a crutch. It's a life preserver. They feel comfortable, especially that gadata. With the gadata, you really have to look at the English. So no, I think if they would have had purely Hebrew, it would have been very difficult for them to grab a hold of it. Now with the English, like the question with the tree. We had a question today about if the tree grows between two properties. Tree can be Eitz and tree can be Ilan. Right? And the Gemara usually uses the word Elon. Okay? So in Haftarah, we had the word tree because that's what a person, you know, calls it a tree. And that's the way people, you know, refer to it. So we have it on the tree. So English, I felt, was very important. And I did not publish the Hebrew. And I was eager to put out the Hebrew without the English. But I said to myself, no, I want it to be complete, both English and Hebrew. And Baruch Hashem, it came out at the same time.
Interesting. There's a reference that, as I was reading some of the introductory remarks, you explain why Israel is not mentioned that often in the Mafteach, even though, of course, there's so many references in the Talmud. And why did that happen? Explain it to me.
Well, I wanted my Sefer to be accepted within every single environment. If you look at my Haskamas, my approbations, they're Hasidic, they're Litvish, they're Sephardic, they're modern, and they're old-fashioned. Everyone. Because this Sefer was not giving opinions. This Sefer wasn't, you know, opining. It wasn't giving an editorial comment. It was telling those who love the Gemara how to find it. But there are certain words like Israel in English, and Hebrew is no problem. The word Israel as a country, there are many people who do not refer to Israel as Israel. They refer to Zet Yisrael. And it's a political issue. That's not the purpose of the cell phone call right now. And therefore, I did not want to get involved in that. But truth be told, if you look at the beginning of the volume, it says printed in Israel, because I personally have no problem with that. But in order not to create any sort of offense, I, you know, use the word Israel referring to the B'nai Yisrael. And otherwise, it was Zet Yisrael.
Now that you've written this, and now that you're the author of Hamafteach, is there anything that you've learned about a specific Masechta or maybe a comparison between Masechtos? For instance, you would be an interesting person to ask, okay, which is the most interesting Masechta, or which one has the most fascinating stories or the most interesting accounts of Jewish history or any other topic? Is there something that came out that would be able to answer some of those questions because you went ahead and worked on this?
Well, you know, it's a chicken and the egg. I did not discover these stories after I wrote the Mafteach. I already had studied these stories or these Gemaras or the beautiful Inyanim in the Gemara for perhaps close to 45, 50 years before the Mafteach was published. So to answer you, no. I didn't, you know, find anything to be of great interest because of the Mafteach. However, because I wrote the Mafteach, I came across the most interesting people. The ability to have met the Gedolei Hador, from Rav Kanievsky and Lavdil ben Achayim, Rav Eliashiv and Lavdil ben Achayim, Rav Steinman to Shol Havarichas Yamim, and Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, and the Rebbes who I have in here, who gave me the ability to meet with them, because I, you know, asked them to look at the Sefer before it was going to be published. This to me was the experience of a lifetime, and I treasure this because normally one doesn't have the opportunity to meet these people and to speak with them, etc., etc. If you've got time, I can tell you an amazing story of Kanievsky.
Please.
Okay, that relates to this. Well, Kanievsky gave me his Michtav Bracha, and I took my wife's advice. There's a story within a story, and she said to me, Danny, my wife Margie, who's also a lawyer in her own right, she said to me, Danny, I don't think you should spend the years it'll take you to put this together until you find out that the Bnei Torah, the Bnei Yeshiva, will accept it. Mm-hmm. And the Gedolim have to accept it, because you don't want to sell it, you know, to be in a public library. You want this to be in everybody's home, everybody's library, in the libraries of the Yeshiva. So he says, why don't you take a template, take a part of the various parts of the Masechta, you know, the Zman Nakat from Zrayim and Moed and Kachim and Taharis and Ezekiel and Nashim, etc., and show them around, and if it's accepted, then, you know, complete the project. So if you look at the Skumas are perhaps 6 or 7 years dated before it was published. So I went to Rav Kanievsky with, you know, almost a skeleton of all of the various, you know, the Siddurim. He looked at it, and he gave me his Michtav Bracha. It's in the Sefer. Fast forward 7 years to 2011, I believe it was, yes. And I was in Israel, and Feldheim then had published it. And then after Feldheim, so of course, Koren, whom I love very much, Matthew Miller's a good friend. He's a wonderful, wonderful person. And I can't ignore Ben Gassner, who did the graphics. And if you see how beautiful this thing is put together. So I went to Kanievsky with a Sefer. So I said, Rav Kanievsky, and you know, Rav Kanievsky, he learns in his white shirt with short sleeves, with his shtenda, and he's always gathered around with Tamidim and with young men and boys and you know, Americans and Israelis. He always has a crowd there. So I came in there, and I presented my Maftech the Sefer. So everybody goes, ooh, ooh, ooh. He looks at it, and I had no idea whether he'd remember it, because I'm sure he's reviewed, I'm sure, thousands of Svarim over the 7 years that he had seen me. And he looks at it, and all of a sudden he starts leafing through the pages, and my heart is dropped in my stomach. I say, oh my gosh, if he's looking for something, and he can't find what he's looking for, I hope he doesn't take back the Eskama. Anyway, he looks, and then with a big smile, he gets up, and he embraces me, and he says, I should have a brother, the Sefer should be Matzliach, etc., etc. Good. So I said to Rav Kanievsky, I said, yes, Rosh Hashiva, what was the Rosh Hashiva looking for? So he smiles. He says, I'm in the middle of a Din Torah. Now, I know nobody's suing Rav Kanievsky, and he's not suing anybody. So the story is as follows. There was a Din Torah, and the Dayanim had made a mistake. And he was now asked to judge whether the Dayanim had to reimburse the person who was adjudicated to be the loser when that person should have been the winner. Mm. Now, in Gemara Lashon, that's called Tashlumin. Right. In modern Hebrew, that's called Pitzuim. You have to pay damages. So he wanted to know whether I had it in the Mafteach as Tashlumin or Pitzuim. And I have the word Pitzuim, because now Pitzuim is not a Gemara language. You're not going to find Pitzuim, although it says Pesetach as Potza, but that is in the Torah language. The Gemara language is called Tashlumin or Nezikin. So he found in the Pitzuim. So he smiled. He says, you know, Dibur Torah Kloshman Yodam. People who will look it up in the Pitzuim, because that's the modern day of writing it. So he said, I did it the right way, and I was just, you know, thrilled. So this was one of the few. I had fabulous stories with all of them, but Rav Kanievsky, of course, he looked at it, he read it, he reviewed it, he tested it, and he gave me, you know, a big smile and a big, you know, haslacha.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, beautiful man, beautiful man.
The Talmud is pretty interesting, isn't it?
If you think about it, the Talmud doesn't have any paragraphs, any dots, any punctuation. It's one long run-on sentence for 2,500 pages, if you think about it.
It really is. It's amazing.
No sentences, no paragraphs, no periods, no question marks, right? Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he broke up the six parts. You know, Zrayim, Moed, Kachim, Zman Nokat, Nizikim, Noshim, Kachim, Taharis. But other than that, it took Bamberg to create the daf. Now, I'll tell you, Sansino is the one who created the Tzuras HaDaf. We have the Gemara in the middle, Rashi on the inside, and Tosfos on the outside. They only finished two or three Masechtas, then they stopped. Bamberg is the one who took it over, did the whole Shas, not in 20 volumes as we have it, and this Shas that Bamberg published was sold by, I think, Sotheby's about a month ago for $9.2 million.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And that's the story into itself, how the person, Mr. Lunzer, who got it, he got it from the from the library in London, and they got it because of the marriage of Catherine the Great. It's a story you wouldn't be believed. But if you could Google the story as to how the Bamberg Shas ended up in England and it was ended up with Mr. Lunzer. That's a story unto itself.
And Daniel Redder is the author of The Sefer HaMafteach, Koren Publishers. It's an index reference guide to Talmud Bavli and the Mishnayos in both Hebrew and English. Cannot thank you enough for your time. It's an amazing work. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing all this information with us.
May I add one more thing?
Sure.
If I may, okay. I know it's like a little self-advertising, but I don't think there's a better bar mitzvah present. When one volume, you buy it for a bar mitzvah boy, English or Hebrew, and anybody who buys it, who meets me, I'll be happy to autograph it. No charge for that.
There you
so,
go.
So, have a slacha, and Nachum, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to speak with you.
A pleasure. Thank you very much. We call it By the Book. This is the Nachum Segal Network. Our friends at Koren Publishers have introduced Daniel Redder, Esquire, to us. He is the author of HaMafteach, an unbelievable index reference guide to Talmud Bavli and the Mishnayos in both Hebrew and English. And I thank him for his time on this very special edition here at the Nachum Segal Network. You're listening to Buy the Book. Our friends at Koren Publishers encourage you, as do we, to go to the Koren Publishers website, korenpub.com, korenpub.com. Check out their amazing work and great authors, and join us each and every Wednesday for a great look at one of their works right here at the Nachum Segal Network, korenpub.com. We'll be right back.